Good morning, Miracle Life Family Church. How are you doing this morning? I'm so happy to see that you braved the cold and you came for the service today. It's wonderful to see all of you. It's also wonderful to know that we have Man U fans that managed to brave the cold. Even though that this world is lonely sometimes, church is a place where we find comfort and family. Amen. All right, so I just want to encourage all the parents to make sure that your children get their tickets for the lock-ins. It will be amazing. It will be awesome. So please make sure that they get their tickets. I remember Pastor Walker said they actually stay in your home. They're eating your food. They're sleeping on your bed. So you might as well just force them, all right? It's good forcing. This is one of the things that's good in the kingdom of God. And then also I just want to emphasize the fact that if you do not get your tickets for the Easter musical today, especially after this service, you might not be able to attend. So please make sure that immediately after the service, don't cause commotion, but go straight to the table and get yourself a ticket, all right? Okay, thank you. So now, today we will continue with the sermon series that was introduced by Pastor Walker last week before he left, and he introduced the series by emphasizing on the fact that God had a plan, and that plan was fulfilled through the Lord Jesus Christ. He mentioned that God's plan was for Jesus to come and redeem us. And today, as we look to Jesus, I will be looking at why Jesus died. All right, why Jesus died, because in the fulfillment of God's plan concerning man, he had to send his son Jesus to come and die for us. And so what we need to now look at in depth is, why did Jesus die? So please turn with me to our theme scripture, which is Hebrews 12 verse 2. NKJV version says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I'll also just read from a different version that's called Easy Bible Translation. It says, as we run, we must always look towards Jesus. He is the one who trusted God completely. Our faith starts with him, and he will help us to trust God all the way to the end. Jesus accepted punishment on the cross. He chose to receive much pain. He did not think about being ashamed to die like that. He knew that God had prepared something very good for him that would make him happy. Now he has sat down at the right hand of God to rule with him in heaven. Now from this passage of scripture, we see that the Bible tells us that when Jesus was on the cross, even though his pain and what he went through was very painful, it was very shameful, what he went through on the cross when he was dying, it was very, very painful. However, Jesus found joy in that pain. And so today we'll look at, why did Jesus find joy in that pain? What is that joy that caused Jesus to endure the cross? To not want to change his mind when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed and said, Lord, let it not be my will, but let it be your will. So we will see from this passage of scripture that there are a few reasons that led Jesus to stay on the cross and not come off the cross and ended up resurrecting, which will be looked at in our next service. So the first thing that I want us to understand is that Jesus stayed on the cross because of our sin. He stayed on the cross because of our sin. Jesus stayed on the cross because man is born in sin and man has no ability to save himself. Jesus stayed on the cross because man was born in sin and man does not have ability to save himself. Jesus stayed on the cross, endured the cross, Because it was the only way for man out of sin and back to God. In short, we can say all men are born in sin and they are born sinners. There is nothing that man does for him to qualify to be a sinner. And so therefore, there is nothing that he can do to get himself out of that sin. Because he is born with that nature of sin. And through scripture, we will see how man was born with the nature of sin. Would you turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Genesis 2, verse 15 to 17. Then the Lord God took man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of this tree, you will surely die." You will surely die. Now, I want you to understand that here, when God said, "In the day that you eat of this tree, you will surely die," God was not cursing man. But God was only informing man of the consequences of his action. The consequences of him choosing to disobey God. Now, when the Bible talks about death, there are three kinds of death that are revealed through the scriptures. There is what is called spiritual death, there is what is called physical death, and there is what is called eternal death. Spiritual death is when the spirit of a man is disconnected from God. And Adam and Eve, in the day that they chose to disobey God, the Bible says they died. But we don't see that they cease from existence, do we? They continue to exist. Adam went on and had a son by the name of Cain. Then he had another son by the name of Abel. He had many more other children after that. What does that mean? It means that they experienced spiritual death, which was a separation from God. It was that spiritual death that they experienced, which was a separation from God, that then introduced the next type of death, which is physical death. When God created man, he did not create man to die. He created man to live forever. And then now thereafter we have the final, which is the third type of death, which is eternal death. Now you find scriptures that talk about the separation of a human spirit from God in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, where the Bible tells us how we were dead in trespasses and we were disconnected from God. For physical separation, you find the scripture that confirms this is Genesis chapter 2 verse 26, which is the separation, physical death being the separation of a human spirit from their body. That's why when someone dies, we say we are going for body viewing. Why? Because the spirit of a person has left their body, and so there is no life in that body anymore. And then finally, there is eternal death. Eternal death is the final destruction of a human spirit, human soul, and human body, which is in Revelations 20, verse 11 to 15. Revelations chapter 20, verse 11 to 15. Therefore, we are all born dead to God, but alive to sin. Man is born a sinner, not because of what he did, but because of what Adam did. We are naturally born of the seed of Adam, and so therefore we are born of the seed of sin. Now, I know that some questions may begin to arise. What about children who die when they are babies and they have not experienced salvation? Well, according to the Bible, we see Jesus telling us that, "Bring the little children to me." So little children are not subjected to this kind of a process, which I will be explaining, as they have not yet attained the stage of maturity where they can discern right and wrong and have the ability to believe and accept Jesus. So let's not think about children. Let's focus on us ourselves here. But I'm also grateful to the fact that we have a wonderful church, Miracle Life Family Church, which has created and has a very good system where children attend church services, the gospel is preached to them, and they receive the same Jesus Christ that you and I receive, and they are baptized in the same Holy Spirit that you and I are baptized in. It's great to know that there is no junior Holy Spirit and there is no junior Jesus. So they receive the same Jesus, the same Holy Spirit, and so they qualify for the same things that we qualify for. Amen. All right. Now, turn with me to the book of Romans 5, verse 12 to 19. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 to 19. And when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone. For everyone sinned. Do you see that? When Adam sinned, sin entered the world, and then sin brought death. What did it bring? It brought separation between God and man and other kinds of death. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. Even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God, as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ, who was yet to come. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of what man's that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one person obeyed God, many were made righteous. Because one man, Adam, disobeyed God, we are all subjected to the sin nature which separates us from God. Therefore, all of us are born separated from God. It doesn't matter whether you are coming from a religious church, even if you are born from parents who are anointed, full of the Holy Ghost preachers of the gospel, resurrecting the dead, you are still born in sin. Even those that are born from pastors. Everyone is born in sin. And so therefore, it is the reason why Jesus had to come and die on the cross. The second thing to note about why Jesus stayed on the cross is the fact that the death of Jesus was God's idea. It was an intentional and planned out decision by God for Jesus to die. When he died, how he died, and where he died from. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. In the same way, we were children like that in God's family. We were slaves to the bad spirits that rule this world. But when the time that God had decided arrived, he sent his son into the world. A human mother gave birth to him. He was born a Jew under the authority of God's law. In that way, he made us free from the authority of the law. Before that, we were slaves under the law. But God's son paid our debt so that God could accept us as his true children. When Jesus came to die, he came at the right time when God had planned for him to come, and Jesus' death was according to how God had intended that Jesus should die. Last week, Pastor Walker made reference from Genesis chapter 3, where he says, and God said that the serpent that the serpent shall bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, but that the serpent's head shall be what? Shall be crushed. On the cross is where Jesus crushed the head of the serpent. How did that happen? It happened when he hanged on the cross. Listen to me. Jesus' death was not for himself. Jesus didn't die for himself. He died for you and for me. His death on the cross was an ultimate payment for the penalty of sin, which we were supposed to pay. Jesus decided to take punishment on our behalf. That's why when he died, the blood that he shed, that blood is life. That blood is the life that was required as final payment for sin. And it was given to God and not to the devil. The blood of Jesus. Jesus didn't die to redeem us from Satan. No. Jesus died to redeem us from the wrath of God. He didn't die so that we can be delivered from Satan. No. He had nothing to do with the devil. He had everything to do with God. And we will see through the scriptures. That's why the blood that he died, the blood that he shed was given to God. So we shouldn't be pleading the blood of Jesus on demons. I plead the blood of Jesus on the road, on my car, on my cup, in the water. For what? Satan has nothing to do with that blood. He didn't need it. God is the one who needed it. So we just pray and ask God for protection and we end there. Because the blood is with God. Amen. All right. The third thing that made Jesus stay on the cross is because we have all sinned and we deserve death and punishment. We've all sinned and we deserve death and punishment. Isaiah 66 verse 6. Isaiah 66 verse 6. The Bible says, but we all, like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Meaning whatever righteous act you may think you do that makes you stand right before God is as filthy rags before God. Your good deeds don't count. Good behavior doesn't count. It is not what gets us out of sin and its punishment. Good behavior doesn't. Good behavior has its place in the kingdom of God. It helps us to live effectively and to live a sin consciousness free life. But it doesn't qualify us to stand before God. So he says, we all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Romans 3 verse 23. Romans 3 verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now look at that passage of scripture. It's not saying, for all have sinned and fallen short. It says, for all have sinned and they fall short. Meaning this is present continuous. It is present continuous in our state as human beings. We all have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. Meaning we can't make ourselves right before God. We cannot gain God's approval by ourselves. We can never make God happy by ourselves. Because we all have sinned and we fall short. We fall short. Even in our doing good sometimes, our motives are not good. They're not good. And so we fall short. That's why we cannot make ourselves right before God. It's not possible. That's why Jesus had to stay on the cross. All right? Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Because we've all sinned, we deserve death and punishment. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Because we are born in the nature of sin, we are already born dead. Because we are born in the nature of sin. We are born dead. And that's why there are certain things that are in the life of death, which people cannot escape. Then there are things that happen to us when we cross from death to life, which Pastor Benjamin will talk about more when he ministers next week. All right? Then the fourth thing, I thought I said this is the fourth thing, isn't it? The fourth reason why Jesus had to stay on the cross is that he died to pay the ultimate price of our sin. He died for you and for me. Jesus decided to stay on the cross. When we look to Jesus, we are looking to him, knowing that this one is the one who decided to stay on the cross so that I can be redeemed, so that I can be set free from sin and from its power and from its condemnation. So turn with me to Isaiah 53, verse 3 to 6. Isaiah 53, verse 3 to 6 and 10. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it is our weakness that he carried. Do you see that? It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God. A punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. Whatever pain that Jesus went through on the cross, he did that for you and for me, including Manchester United fans. He did it for Mr. Maguire. He did it for all of us. He died on the cross. He paid the ultimate price of sin because we could not pay it by ourselves. We didn't have the capacity, we didn't have the ability, we did not have the righteousness that it takes for us to stand worthy before God and for God to say, I have forgiven you and you are free eternally. Jesus' death on the cross was not to give us temporal forgiveness from God, but it was to give us permanent forgiveness. Eternal forgiveness. Now, it goes beyond just being given permanent forgiveness. According to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away, and all things have become new. Jesus' death on the cross was to pay our sin, but also to restore us back to God. He paid the price. He paid it all. We esteemed him stricken. But he was doing that for us. When they lined him up in that long queue where there were many other sinners that were on the cross, people were looking to him and thinking, he is paying the punishment for disobeying the elders, for disobeying the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But they didn't know that what they were doing is they were actually implementing God's plan of salvation. They were executing God's final redemption plan. Turn with me to Hebrews 9, verse 22 to 28. Hebrews 9, verse 22 to 28. Jesus became the substitutionary sacrifice for man. He paid what you and I should have been able to pay. Hebrews 9, 22 to 28. In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That is why the tabernacle and everything in it which were copies of things in heaven, had to be purified by the blood of animals. But the real things in heaven had to be purified with far better sacrifices than the blood of animals. For Christ did not enter into a holy place made with human hands, which was only a copy of the true one in heaven. He entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on our behalf. You see what I talked about, how the blood of Jesus was not given to the devil but given to God? He appeared before God with the blood. With the blood. Why did he appear? On our behalf, for our sakes. And he did not enter heaven to offer himself again and again, like the high priest here on earth who enters the most holy place year after year with the blood of an animal. If that had been necessary, Christ would have had to die again and again, ever since the world began. But now, once for all time, he has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death as a sacrifice. Jesus paid the price for our sin by sacrificing himself. He paid the price by being the ultimate sacrifice. And Jesus, and just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ was offered once for all, Jesus was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with sin, but to bring salvation to all who eagerly wait for him. Jesus' death on the cross was death to become the substitute for man. He took your place and my place. Now, understand this. When Jesus took our place, God forgave us of all sin, made us right with himself, and therefore, God does not look at us through the blood of Jesus. God looks at us and sees us as justified today because Jesus has paid the price, not through the blood. Because if God was seeing us through the blood of Jesus, it's as though God is being deceived. No, but that's not the case. He doesn't use the blood to see us. He sees us with his own eyes as justified, whose price of sin has been paid, and there is no more need for the payment of the sin or the price of sin. There is no more. That's how he sees us. He sees us just like Jesus. Why? Because Jesus stayed on the cross. He endured the cross, despising the shame, for the sake of the joy that was set before him. What is that joy? The joy is he saw you and I forgiven. He saw you and I justified. He saw you and I accepted before the Father when he was on the cross. That's why Jesus stayed on the cross. Turn with me to Romans 3, verse 25. Romans chapter 3. Verse 25. Romans 3, verse 25. Whom God sent forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God passed over the sins that were previously committed. Now, the word that's used here in Romans 3, verse 25, called propitiation. To propitiate in Greek, it's hilasterion, which means an atoning sacrifice. It means the penalty for sin of people is paid in its entirety, covering the past, the present, and the future. This means that Jesus appeased all of God's wrath on the cross once and for all by satisfying the demands for people to escape from punishment. Jesus became our propitiation, meaning Jesus quenched all of God's anger towards sin in himself on the cross. Now, one of the words that is made reference to when you talk about propitiation, it also means to pacify. It means to appease the anger. Now, our son, Timothy, when he was little, he would wake up, he would struggle to sleep, and also sometimes he would wake up in the night. So what we would do is, we had a pacifier, you know, a titi, as it's commonly known. Huh? We had a titi, a pacifier. So when he wakes up and he's crying, we would get the titi and put it in his mouth. The moment you put it in his mouth, he was pacified. He slept. He went quiet. You see, God was titted by Jesus. He pacified his anger once and for all. He pacified his anger. That's the same. That's what it means. It's to pacify. To means to soothe, to quench, to end the anger. Jesus ended all of God's anger on the cross. God is not angry with the world anymore because Jesus took away all the anger. That's why these earthquakes are not God expressing his anger. On the cross, God expressed all of his anger. It is finished. When Jesus said, "It is finished," God's anger was finished. The thirst for punishment was finished. He is not angry. Why? Because Jesus endured the cross, despite the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Why? Because the Father is not angry. God is not angry with you anymore. He's not angry with this world anymore because all of his anger was pacified by Jesus on the cross. He ended it all. Now, our son would wake up from time to time and still need to put back the pacifier. But that's not with God. He doesn't sometimes wake up angry and needs Jesus to remind him that I paid the price. No. They work together, and together they know that man is justified. Man is free. Man is free. Amen. Turn with me. Now, why did we need a savior? So I finished all of those. But turn with me now to the book of Romans 5. Romans 5 verse 1 to 2. Jesus died to redeem us from our sin. It was by God's standard that man was called a sinner. Therefore, it was by God's standard that man could be made righteous. It was by God's standard that we are called sinners. That's why we don't justify, or we've got no place in defining sin in ourselves. We let God define it. God is the one who called us sinners. Not that he made us sinners, but when we did what we did, it was God who was able to help us to see what we became. And so therefore, he's the one who prescribes how we come out of it. Yes, it's by God's standards that we sinned. And therefore, it's by his standard that we are made righteous. Romans 5, verse 1 to 2. So we see that God has accepted us as right because we believe in him. As a result, we are friends with God because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Also, because we trust Jesus Christ, he has caused us to know that God is very kind. That makes us strong in our lives. Here, we are sure that we will live with God in heaven, so we are very happy. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, there is now peace between us and God. Let me just read it from the NKJV version. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, there is peace between us and God. There is no more enmity between us and God. When Pastor Benjamin was leading us in the exhortation, he quoted Hebrews 4 verse 16 that we can now come boldly before the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace in time of need. We have an unlimited access to God now through Jesus Christ. We have been justified. We have been made right with God. There is no more enmity between God and us. For anyone that is in Christ, when Jesus died, he took away all form of condemnation that God had towards us. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. Now we know this, that God has forgiven those people who who are united with Christ Jesus. God will never say that they are guilty. Do you see that? Now we know this. God has forgiven those people who are united with Jesus Christ. God will never say that they are guilty. He will never call us guilty for as long as we are in Christ. Why? Because he stayed on the cross. He endured the shame, despising any form of thing, staying on the cross. Why? So that we could be forgiven and never be called guilty. Why? Because the nature of sin, which we were born with, when we were born from Adam, Jesus took away that nature of sin. He took it away on the cross. When we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, we are transacting our sin nature for his righteous nature. There is an exchange that takes place. He takes away our condemnation of guilt and gives us justification of freedom from sin. On the cross, Jesus did that. On the cross, he saw you and I deep in darkness, and he told himself, I will endure, because there is joy. The joy of the Lord Jesus was you and I sitting here today and saying, Father, we love you. Father, we honor you. Father, we glorify you. That is what Jesus saw. He did not die for himself. If you belong to Christ Jesus, God's Spirit has given you a new life. God's Spirit now rules in your life and has made you free. Sin and death no longer have authority over you. The law that God gave to Moses could not make us free from that. We were too weak to obey his laws because of we were human. But God has done that. God has done what his law could not do. He sent his own son to become a person like us. His human body was like the body of people who do wrong things. God's son died as a sacrifice to take away the punishment of our sins. In that way, God destroyed the power of sin over people who are weak and human. In that way, God did this so that we could become right with him. God's law showed us how to be right with him. And now we can be right with God. If we live with God's Spirit as our guide, we do not do what our weak human thoughts want us to do. Because Jesus died, we have been justified. We have been set free from the sin nature that we were born with. Secondly, because Jesus died, in his death we have found our righteousness. In his death we have found our righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. In the death of Jesus, we have found our righteousness. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. From the Passion Translation, for God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God through our union with him. Now, righteousness means to have a right standing before God. Righteousness means having the right wiseness of God working on the inside of us. Before we were in Christ, all our deeds were counted as filthy. But when we are in Christ, our deeds are counted as acceptable before God, because now we have his right wiseness working on the inside of us. Righteousness simply means being given the God kind of life. That's what we've received in Christ Jesus. On the cross, he stayed so that you and I could become the righteousness of God. The reason why, third reason why Jesus stayed on the cross is that in his death, we have found life. In the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I have found life. We have found eternal life. We are no longer destined for eternal death. We are no longer destined for any form of final destruction from God. Now listen, we will still experience physical death. We are now no longer dead. For those that are in Christ Jesus, you are no longer considered dead, meaning you are connected to God. You will experience physical death, but for you, physical death is not the end. Even when we die today, we will rise again. And that is why we face death with hope. We face death without fear, because we know even if I die today, I will live again. Why? Because in Christ we have found life. It is not for us, death, physical death is not the end. It's just the beginning of a greater journey. That's what Jesus did on the cross. We should not fear death. Why? Because Jesus has conquered death. He's destroyed it. It doesn't have power and authority over us anymore. Whether we die, Paul says, for me to die is gain. For me to live is gain for your sake. For me to die is to be present with the Lord. We should not fear death. Do not be afraid of death. Do not be afraid of death. I'm not telling people to go and die, but I'm saying do not be afraid of death. Fear not. It is not final for us. And when our loved ones die, we know that those that have died in Christ will see them again, because in Him we found life. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. 2 Timothy chapter 9, verse 1 to 10. He gave, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 to 10, He gave us resurrection life and drew us to Himself by His holy calling on our lives. And it wasn't because of any good we have done, but by His divine pleasure and marvelous grace that confirmed our union with the anointed Jesus even before time began. This truth is now being unveiled by the revelation of the anointed Jesus, our life giver, who has dismantled death, obliterating all its effects on our lives, and has manifested His immortal life in us by the gospel. You see, we have immortality in us. Now, immortality doesn't necessarily mean just living forever. Immortality means the God kind of life resident on the inside of us. Immortality means having the power within us to live our lives according to God's standard of life. That's why sickness and disease is not part of immortality. Failure is not part of immortality. Failure is of death. It's not of immortality. Immortality doesn't just mean to live forever. It means He living a quality of life that is of the nature of God. The same power that God used to create the world, that's the power that immortality brings and puts on the inside of us. In Him, we've received life on the cross. When did we receive it? The day that we place our faith in Him, we receive this immortal life and it's resident on the inside of us. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 11. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 11. This is one of the longest scriptures we'll read as we go towards our conclusion. Or do you not know that as many of us as we are baptized into Christ Jesus, we are baptized into His death? This simply means when He was dying, when we confess Him, when we place our faith in Him, what this simply means, when He died, we are considered to have also died to sin with Him. We are considered to have paid the price together with Him when He was paying the price. That's why I think that one of the good things about baptism is that it's a reminder of that when you are being when you're dipped in water, it's a sign that you died with Him. And when you're coming out of water, you are raised with Him. So I encourage you to be baptized if you're not baptized. It's one of the very good reminders of what happened on the cross. That when He died, we died with Him. When He was raised, we were raised with Him. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newest of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in our Lord Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross, we died with him to sin. When he paid the price of sin, we paid the price with him. When he was buried, the day that Jesus was buried, we were buried with him in that tomb. The 3 days that he was in that tomb, we were with him. According to God, we died with him. We paid the price with him. Therefore, there is no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When we place our faith in him, it is not what we do that justifies us, but it's what he did on the cross. Now, church, I would invite you to just bow your heads. And in this moment, begin to reflect about how Jesus has redeemed you. How you have been made the righteousness of God. How you are no longer a sinner. You are no longer of this world, though you are in this world. But you are of the kingdom of God. Begin to reflect on how Jesus, on the cross, paid the price so that you and I could no longer be slaves to sin, but could become the slaves to righteousness. Now we are no longer children, tossed to and fro. And the devil no longer has ultimate access on those that are in Christ Jesus. We've been justified by God. He has set us free from sin permanently on the cross, as he died once and for all, and covering all sin, all sin, all sin. No sin was left unattended to. Both past, present, and future. All of the devil's work and the power of the enemy was destroyed on the cross on our behalf. This is good news to all those that are in Christ Jesus. It is good news to all those that have received Jesus as their personal Savior. Because on the cross, Jesus paid it all. If you are here and you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior, you have never had an opportunity to confess the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have not experienced this final, ultimate payment for the price of sin. You are still living in sin. You are still not connected to God. Your good behavior does not count before God, because your good behavior does not make you right before God. Only the blood of Jesus on the cross makes you right before God. Now, I want to give you an opportunity today for you to become one with Jesus, to be united with him, and to confess him as your Lord and your Savior, so that you can be justified, so you can be a partaker of what happened on the cross.